Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the Mountain Man Dan Show. We're here with my buddy Nick tonight. Nick, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hopefully everything works. Nick and I have been experiencing some technical difficulties tonight, but hopefully we'll be able to get a episode recorded here. You do anything fun this week, Nick?
Not really. Just had a sort of a staycation. I was off for a week, so didn't really do much.
Yeah, I had a pretty eventful week. I learned a little bit about myself that would probably get me killed in the streets. And yeah, it was a pretty interesting week. I just got done today. I installed a new stereo and some off-road lights on my wife's car. Her birthday's
Nice.
next week, so I did some upgrades on her car for her. But yeah, last week I went over to a friend's house, a guy I've known for 20 years. You know, he's his wife. I've known her for 20 years. A couple of my other buddies are over there, and we're all sitting around bullshit. And all of a sudden, his wife, she walks by with a freaking rifle. And I made a little joke of, "Oh, where are you going with that thing?" And she's, "I'm gonna go shoot your truck full of holes." And she freaking all pissed off. And I was like, "That was weird, you know." I thought she was just joking around, and then she just stomps off out towards my truck with this rifle, and I was more concerned about the model the gun was than trying to get the situation de-escalated.
Should I ask what the hell happened?
I have no idea to this day. I don't really know why. Her husband doesn't really know why. She just, you know, don't ever come around here again. But yeah, she's sitting out there pointing this rifle at my truck. I turned to all my buddies. It's like, "Ah, is that a 200th year American Liberty Remington 572? I mean, all of a sudden, snick, snick. I was like, "Oh, okay, this is getting serious. I better go get this situation de-escalated." I really don't know what happened, but I was told to never come step foot on their property again by her. And I was like, "Well, angry fat woman with a gun, I'm going to apply to that."
I don't see how people just get angry and shoot your truck just for being there. That's weird.
There were some other details into it, but she was slightly upset with me over something that happened a few weeks ago. But I personally didn't think it was a big deal. I guess it was a bigger deal to her than it was to me. I'm still not really 100% sure how everything escalated to the point that it did. But yeah, it was. You know, I'm going to be the guy sitting at the ATM. This guy's going to be like, "Hey, is that a Smith & Wesson J-frame?" No, that he's robbed me at the ATM kind of guy.
Man, that's a really nice bodyguard lemon squeezer. Here, let me order you some good buffalo boar for that before you kill me.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, it was a pretty eventful week for me. Work was pretty crazy. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So, all righty. Well, Nick, we actually, this week, before we got on to record today, I put a question out on Facebook asking if anybody had any questions, and we did. We got a question from a listener asking something. I believe the question, I don't have it printed here in front of me, but the general idea of the question was if I was going to recommend a 44 Magnum revolver out of the box that's just gonna work, you know, pick it up out of the box and it's gonna work, what would I recommend? It's a good question. There's a lot of scenario, there's a lot of possibilities, but if I'm gonna just answer that question without going into deep detail, I'm gonna say Ruger Red Hawk. I've had several Ruger Red Hawks, and all of them have been really, really, really good guns. I like the Ruger a lot better. The Smith & Wesson Model 29s are a really good option as well, but they're a little more, delicate, maybe a little more feminine than the Ruger is. The Ruger Red Hawk is definitely a more beefy gun, and here in Alaska, running heavy loads, a beefy gun is definitely a good thing.
Right.
Another good option is the Ruger single actions are really good guns. If you want a single action, they're definitely more affordable than the Red Hawk or the Smith & Wesson Model 29. They're both rather expensive guns. I think I paid right around $800 for the last Red Hawk that I bought. And I think
Yeah,
there's
I think I gave 785 for my 4-inch 629.
Yeah, so I mean, they are neither one of those is what I would call a cheap gun. You know, if you watch the gun
No.
show, you get a used Ruger Red Hawk for $450. You know, or not a Red Hawk. I'm sorry, a Ruger Black Hawk. You can get for around $450, single action. The only issue I've ever had with the Black Hawks is if you're running a lot of heavy loads through them, the cylinder latch. For the cylinder, the
Oh, the
cylinder
loading
pin.
gate.
Well, no, I've never had any problem with the loading gate for the cylinder, the actual cylinder pin that locks the cylinder in. You got that little button you can push, and you can pull the pin out and drop your cylinder out. That little button with heavy recoiling loads, like 300 grain. You know, if you shoot a lot of those, that little button doesn't actually hold the pin in well enough. So you'll be shooting bang, 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 and that pin will jump out of where it's supposed to be, and your gun will lock up, and you gotta, you know, stop, put the pin back in, and that kind of stuff. So out of the box, if you're shooting a lot of heavy loads from the Blackhawk, that may be an issue, but there are several aftermarket release pins. You can get pins and the little plunger. Screw the whole nine yards that are tighter and fit together a lot better, and they're not terribly expensive. I want to say around $20, and that fixes that issue. But out of the box, I have had Red Hawk, not Red Hawks, Black Hawks have problems with that cylinder pin jumping out shooting heavy loads.
There's only one budget 44 I can really think of as far as like budget, and I've had like four of them, and I've never paid more than 450, and I've never paid less than 275, but I've had a bunch of Astras, any of the cool Terminators, but had a bunch of like the 6.5-inch 44 Magnums that Astra built. It's like a copy of a Model 29, and they had this weird adjustable mainspring in, but you can usually find them at local gun shows for next to nothing. And they have recessed cylinders like the early Smiths and stuff, and they seem to be pretty well made. I shot mine quite a bit, never had a problem. But it depends on how much you're going to shoot something. Because if you wear an Astronaut, you can't get replacement parts for it, so you just got to throw it away.
See, I think that's like I got this little Taurus tracker now, and that's their customer service isn't that great, and you know, if you break it, you break it, and that's kind of the end of it. Whereas with the Ruger, I have, and that's one of the reasons I love Ruger so much, is their customer service is top notch. If you actually manage to break a Ruger gun, which I have, I wore out a single six, but if you actually manage to break it, which is rare, you send it to them and they will fix or replace it, no questions asked. And in the event I like to tinker, if you're like me and you like to tinker, and you get often, oh, I didn't know there was a spring in there because I've never taken apart this model gun before. I have had several phone calls like that with Ruger, and I it has always been they little giggle, oh yeah, that happened, and they send me a new one. They've never let me pay for parts, and I really like Ruger because of that. I mean, the ability to get parts and their customer service is top notch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of a dyed-in-the-wool Smith guy. If I can only pick one 44 Magnum for the rest of my life, I would probably get a 629 Classic 5-inch full lug. It'll do pretty much anything. But then again, if I'm going to go any like super heavy cartridges, I'm just going to jump right up to a 454 Casull or something like that.
Yeah, I've never actually had a 29. I've shot them a bit. I've looked at them. I've handled them. I've shot them. The thing I don't like about the Model 29, it's a good gun if you're shooting standard 44 mag loads out of it. But when you start running, for one, they just will not handle either the hotness of the loads that the Ruger will, or the length of the cartridge. A Ruger will handle a longer cartridge, which in turns means you can seat the bullet out further and means you can fit more powder under it, which makes it even hotter. And the Smith & Wesson just doesn't handle that kind of stuff. So that's one of the reasons I like the Rugers a lot. But the
The Smith
29
and
is a
Wesson
really
makes a better street gun, rather, and the Red Hawk makes a better outdoorsman gun.
Yeah, you know, if I was just gonna if I was looking more for like concealed carry, the Model 29 is definitely more streamlined than the Red Hawk is by a long shot, and they're definitely lighter. The Red Hawk is a freaking tank,
Yeah. Well,
and
recent.
I have concealed carried my Red Hawk just for the hay of it. You know, I've got I've got a holster from Simply Rugged. One of his pancake holsters. I can wear that inside the waistband, or even just wear a really long shirt, and I can conceal carry my 5.5-inch Red Hawk. But it is heavy. You know that thing is there.
Well, recently we lost a guy named Denny Reichert. He had Sandberg Gun Ranch, and he did a lot of revolver work stuff. He was a street cop for a while, but his preferred gun, and you can look at it, you'll see pictures of him in old Masada U-books and stuff. His street gun was a 6.5-inch 6.29 full power Magnum ammo. That's what he had forever. I think some of his YouTube videos and stuff are still up. I mean, and he actually invented this holster. He uses for him and everything. That was a street gun forever, though. Concealed them, carried them every day. 6.5-inch. Seemed to have good luck with them. I mean, he put tons of rounds through his crap, though, but most of it's probably 240 grain, which is kind of what the Smith & Wesson genuinely, that's what it's designed around. It's designed around the original 240 grain semi-jacketed hollow point, you know.
Right, you know, actually the Model 29, you know, when Elmer Keith was talking when they just started the project, it was, you know, a heavy 44 special, which if you ever read Six Guns, it says in there that the 44 mag exceeded his expectations of what he wanted. And he carried a Model 16, he carried a Model 29 as well, a 4-inch Model 29, you know, once it came out.
Well, his was a pre-29 because they didn't go to model numbers till 1955. So his would have been a just a Smith and Wesson 44 Magnum. But
Yeah, he obviously had one of the first ones. So the model 69 is, I'm sorry, not the model 69, the model 29 is a really good gun. Personally, I like the Red Hawks a little better because I like the hot rod, but there's nothing wrong with the model 29. The model 69, which pops into my head, I had one at one point, and I'm gonna catch a lot of flame for this.
I'm
But
not a fan.
shooting the kind of hand loads that I do, it came apart pretty quick. It loosened up, and it ended up going away with under 500 rounds through it from me, and I wasn't very happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the 69 was a gun that was, I mean, I guess it's fine with off-the-shelf loads, but if I was a hand loader, that would be a gun for some very warm 44 specials. Or like a 44 special gold dot or something for a street gun, but not a fan.
Yeah, I don't. And again, I'm gonna catch flame for this. The Taurus Tracker I have right now, that has just kind of become my truck pistol, has more rounds through it currently than I got through that Model 69, and it's not loosening up. It's not getting cylinder stretched where the cases are bulging so much you have to tap on the ejector rod to get the cases out of the cylinder. It's still tight. It still does its job. Other than the one little issue I had with the cylinder crane retaining screw, it's been pretty problem free.
Right. And you know what I think it is, you know, the Taurus trackers, apparently, I read a long time ago, are just based on the on a shortened judge frame. So pretty much everything inside them internally is a Taurus judge. They're just shortened up with a shorter cylinder in it. And I guess a judge was built around a 410, and they probably, even though the 410 is not exactly a Magnum, it probably does develop quite a bit of energy and recoil energy, and it is probably pretty hard on guns.
I don't know. It's a shotgun round. The 410 is low pressure, but It's definitely fatter, and 45 Colt is fatter than 44 Mag. So when you make them cylinders thinner a little bit, they it makes it stronger. I don't think the Model 69 is, I don't think that Smith and Wesson, what is it, their K frame, or I guess that's actually the L frame.
L frame.
I don't think that's actually big enough to chamber 45 Colt, and it's 44 mag. That body size is about the biggest curvature you can get in that thing. And I think the torque is just a little bit, the main problem I had with that 69 was running warm hand loads through it. The cylinder stretched on it, but I've run the same kind of loads through this tracker, if not hotter loads, and I have not had that issue. So I don't know. I might touch the trigger off on this tracker, and it completely blows into a million pieces one of these days. But so far, it's been relatively problem free.
Well, hell, at least yours actually made it through some rounds. The one I got this week, I'm not even gonna bother shooting it. It's that bad.
I was wondering about that, how that Charter Arms was gonna work out for you.
It didn't. I paid for it because I like to make sure my gun shop makes money, but I'm not going to shoot it. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, that happens
Just
sometimes.
the quality's just quality is not what they used to be. It's like the stuff that jumped right out at me about it was like the crane looks like it was built with a file and a chisel and a hammer in a factory in the Philippines. Doesn't look very good. It doesn't even look like they attempted to smooth anything out. The ejector rod, it feels like it's they used Gojo for the lube. I mean, it's super gritty and it sticks. It doesn't always seat back flat in the cylinder and it won't let the gun close. And then the cylinder latch is funny. I don't know why Charter Arms has this weird adjustable screw for the actual cylinder release that actually goes in the frame. Mine wasn't adjusted correctly. It just the whole thing just kind of felt like it was thrown together. And you think it's cheap at 375, and of course I got the Bulldog XL 45 Colt model, but 375 at the door ends up being over $400, and like you can add another 60 or $70 to that and get into like a 45 Colt Blackhawk or any of the Italian Colt clones or something, a 3.5 inch Sheriff model or whatever, and have something that actually works, that's actually smooth and has some build quality to it. I just wasn't very impressed with it. Sights looked like they were shaped with a file. Nothing was very well dressed. Even like the crown on the barrel was not very good. And I recently had a Pathfinder 22 that was bad. I used to have a bunch of old Charters that were great, but I don't know. I'm maybe they work, but to me, I kind of want a little bit more in something that works for me to be motivated to want to do anything with it. It has to kind of be somewhat nice. That's just me, maybe.
See, there are two different kind of people. There are people with carry gun. No, their carry gun is their carry gun, and they don't shoot it. And then there are people like me, where the gun I carry is the gun I shoot because, oh, there's a squirrel, and I don't want that squirrel getting in my barn, so he's going away. Or I'm just out, in the backyard. Okay, I'm gonna take a pop at that rock over there and maybe see if I can hit it. Just getting a little practice. Or, just I'm walking by my shooting berm. Like, I'm just going to dump a magazine of 45s right here. I shoot my carry guns a lot.
Well, it's like my Model 15 Combat Masterpiece Snub I carry every day. I lost count at 6,000 rounds 2 years ago. Typically, every other weekend, I will go shoot one or two ammo cans of the 500-round packs of PO38 Special, and it's never been retimed. It hasn't had a new lock fitted to it. I mean, it's literally all I do is pull the side plate and do a full field strip every 6 months and clean it, and then every time I shoot it, I bore snake it and wipe it off. That's literally all I do to it, and it never has problems.
Yeah, and see, I'm the kind of guy, I shoot my carry guns a lot, and I live in rural Alaska, so I can just, step on my back porch and start shooting. I've got, I've got right now we're still working on building the house, so I've got good backstop piles in just about every direction. And to the north of me, I don't have a neighbor for probably 20 miles. So I've
Wow.
got no worries of a stray bullet going somewhere or anything like that. So I do. I shoot around the house all the time. I would say most of the time when I'm not in town working, I shoot my carry gun daily, at least a magazine full.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing though. I mean, I think you should shoot your carry guns. You know, I always heard the expression carried a lot, shot very little. I don't really see the benefit in that. You know, a lot of people don't like them. But the one thing I will agree, it's something James Yeager said, the best thing you can do for your gun is to wear it out. It's the best thing you can do for it.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten close to wearing a couple guns out. You know, where they definitely loose up revolvers, you know, I've gotten revolvers at a time, mostly cheaper ones, but I have. But yeah, I mean, I especially, you know, being here in rural Alaska, it's just I'm a gun guy. I always have an extra handful of ammo in my pocket. It's not uncommon for me to just be walking across the yard. Hey, I'm gonna shoot at that rock, and I do.
Yeah.
So my wife doesn't even question it anymore. She sees me start to pull my shirt up to go to the gun. She just covers her ears. She knows what's coming.
Yeah, you could do that in Nashville and you'd blend right in, but not for the same reasons.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I've got to the south of me, I have neighbors probably about half a mile, three quarters of a mile, maybe max. But to the north of me, I've got nobody. I got the pipeline right away behind me. And it's buried going through this, so I don't have to worry about hitting the pipeline. Because of the pipeline there's a very good section of nobody to the north of me. And
Right.
actually to the east and west of me, I don't really have anybody either, you know, for probably three quarters of a mile. So it really doesn't bother anybody when I shoot at my place.
Well, now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to replace the charger with, and literally anything would do. Whatever I get, I'm wanting to have an in the waistband holster made by Rob Lee over at Simply Rugged for it. But I can't really, I haven't decided yet. Now, I've mentioned a couple of you, but I mean, it ranges everything from Ruger Blackhawks to maybe another 51 Navy. Yes, a cap and ball. A lot of things. I just want something kind of interesting to shoot and do some blogging on. I just don't know what it's going to be yet. But I'm
Yeah.
trying to stick with affordable stuff. I mean, I like expensive guns too, but you know, eh. It's not within the reach of everybody. It's kind of cool when you can, you know, spend, you know, 270-ish to 450-ish dollars and get something really cool that'll actually like last you a lifetime and not be a total pile of crap.
Yeah, you know, if I was just gonna go buy a revolver right now and a center fire. I don't know. I've been having an itching for a 1873, you know, single action. So I was looking the other day at Sportsman's Warehouse. We have a Sportsman's Warehouse in Fairbanks, so when I go to town, I go in there. And you can get the 1873 you birdies. They're plain Jane, you know, like flat powder.
Parkerized with the brass trigger guard and
Yeah, and it's like $419, and I had a birdie for a while. I didn't shoot it a whole lot. It was 357. I don't like 357, but it seemed like a really nice gun. Every one that I've handled had seemed really, really well built.
right.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of Caracoded single actions, I finally got a chance to handle a Ruger Wrangler today.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I didn't buy it. We'll put it that way. It was a little bit of a disappointment because I was expecting a single six with a aluminum frame, and it's a single six looking and sized gun with an aluminum frame, but it is definitely not the same quality. Like the hammer is cast and looks kind of crappy, and Yeah, the trigger and everything was just kind of gritty on it. It's not a single six with an aluminum frame. It's definitely its own little family of
Well,
guns.
how much better is it than a Heritage Rough Rider?
Without shooting it, I would, but I'm gonna say it's definitely above the Rough Rider, with feel and everything, but it wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Yeah, I've kind of heard mixed reviews. There's a lot of people that love them though. I haven't even seen one yet though. They're not real common here in Nashville. Everybody's bought them all up before they can even hit the shelf.
If I saw one for $150 or $160, I would probably buy one and shoot it a bunch and give you an honest review. But for $210 or $219, I think it was, it just seemed a little steep. But they are brand new. I think the price will come down a little more.
Yeah, if they get down to about $1.50, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right now $225 right in there. You can get a used single six off gun broker that's beat up, but it's still a good gun for that kind of money, and have a steel framed single six that has a worldwide reputation versus this new thing that's just starting to hit the market. And we're not, I'm sure it's better than a Heritage, but that's not hard to do. But it wasn't what I was expecting it to be.
I was actually looking at the Heritage Rough Rider big bores. They make a 357 and a 45 Colt. They had a 45 here locally, and it's actually a really nice gun, but the two reasons I won't buy it is because they put all the stupid safety warning, don't kill yourself with this writing all over the barrel. And then it's got a transfer bar in it, which to me is clown shoes. If you're going to have a 73, you don't have a transfer bar. It needs to have hammer mounted firing pin, and you carry it on an empty chamber, five shots. If you don't like that, then buy a Blackhawk. To
There
me,
are.
it's just you're adding complication to an action that was already perfected. It doesn't need a transfer bar, it doesn't need a rebounding frame mounted firing pin. That's not what it's supposed to have.
In my opinion, there are only two single action revolvers. There's the 1873, and there's the Ruger Blackhawk, and anything else is a copy or a clone, and it's probably not done as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have other single actions like the Remingtons and the 51 Navy, the 60 Army,
Well,
the Dragoon, the
you're talking
Walker.
about that. You're talking about that Rough Rider where they're trying to put a transfer bar in an 1873, and I agree. Either do it right and make a Blackhawk out of it, or it's an 1873.
Don't forget they have a thumb safety too.
That's probably my biggest beef with Heritage, that little thumb safety. If I'm going to shoot myself, I'm going to shoot myself, and I don't need your thumb safety getting in the way.
Damn. Yeah, I guess you got a point.
Well, if you're dumb enough to shoot yourself, raising my hand here, I don't think a safety's gonna help that much because in my case, I didn't have the safety on anyway.
That's true.
You used to like a I shot myself with a lever action rifle. You're used to a lever action rifle being, you. Most of them don't have a safety, so the one that did have a safety, I didn't use it anyway. About the only gun I really use the safety on is my 1911. I carry a 1911 cocked and locked, so I used the safety on my 1911. Bolt action rifles, I don't usually put around in the chamber until I'm ready to shoot. So I don't really use the safeties on those. Actually, the same thing with the lever actions. I don't normally put around in the chamber, but I did this time, and we just heard how that worked out for me.
Yeah, that's not good. Oddly, I have a Savage 338 Winchester Magnum. I keep one in the chamber on it all the time with the safety in the middle position where you can still operate the bolt and it won't fire. I don't have any, and like all my old Marlins and stuff, I carry those one in the pipe on half cock, which in my opinion is always the way God intended them to be carried, because mine are pre-Christ bolt safety, so.
Yeah, I've got a 338, and I've got a bunch of, I don't have a bunch right now, but I've had a bunch of bolt action rifles, and I don't normally, like, if I am sitting in the stand, and I know there's gonna be a moose coming by soon, I might, or and when I'm coyote calling, I'll put a round in the chamber of my 22-250, and I'll set the safety on, because I don't want to make a whole lot of noise. But I'm sitting in one spot. As soon as I get up to move again, the round's coming out of the chamber and the bolt's going back down on an empty.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad precaution.
So, in the case of the one time I shot myself with lever action, I don't like admitting it, but it happened, and hopefully other people can learn from my mistake. I wasn't paying attention to where the muzzle was pointed. And we were in Texas, and we were after dark, and there's hogs running around in the brush, and I had a Rossi Model 92 in 454 Casull, and I had a round in the chamber. We're on our hands and knees. I got a headlamp on, trying to find our way through the brush. The brush is just real thick, and I turned around to hand the headlight to my buddy, and when I stood up. And I went to go swing around and hand him that light. And I had around in the chamber. And this is where I probably should have put my thumb over the hammer to keep it from being able to be cocked back. But I didn't. And I didn't have the little stupid flip safety on the top of the gun turned on. So I turned around and the brush caught the hammer. And it didn't cock it back enough to actually cock it, but it cocked it back enough to have the gun go off. And yeah, that little on the Rossi lever action, this one apparently did not have that little safety notch. And yeah, thing went off, and I shot myself in the top of the foot with a 454 Casull.
Damn, how long did it take to recover from that?
I was back at work in 3 days.
Well, that's not that bad.
No, I hit myself. Pretty much dead center in the top of the foot, well, off to the left side a little bit, left foot. And the bullet went through right at the joint in my toes, and the toe bone just kind of spread, let that bullet through. And that was the end of it. You could poke a pencil through my foot, but it was just a flesh wound.
You got lucky. You could have blown your foot off in a 454.
I will tell you this, I am a million times more aware of where my muzzle is now. I know exactly where my muzzle is at all times.
Shit, yeah, I don't blame you.
So, not something I'm proud of, but maybe, if I tell the story, somebody else can learn from my mistake. That was a $16,000 medical bill, even though they didn't do anything to me.
No, that's medical bill for you. One
I did.
painkiller is $1,000.
I didn't want to go to the hospital, but I ended up going because my wife was there and my buddy and his wife were there, and it's three of them against one of me, and I've got a bullet hole on my foot, so I'm not running. And then once I was in the hospital, oh, this hospital, we're not equipped for gunshot trauma, and they wouldn't let me out. But oh, we might have to do surgery tomorrow. We got to hold you overnight because it's a gunshot wound. And yeah, here we are. And yeah, it was a good time.
So, what do you think, man? Should I get a 51 Navy and carry it for a while and do a blog and a write up, or should I get a like a 73 style Colt, or?
All right, let's take off. Let's pick up where we left off. 51 Navy, you were asking about.
Right.
So, what's your, yeah, you want to, I don't know if I would carry an actual 51 Navy cap and ball. We got way better things on the market now.
Yeah, but can we really talk? We're walking around with revolvers and everybody else is walking around with Glock 17s and Canic TP9s. So we're already behind the times a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, having a double action, or even if you want to carry a single action, that's cool. I know plenty of people that carry a single action, but there's two things I see about the now, if you were absolutely dead set on a 51 Navy, I would get one of the Uberti cartridge conversions in 38 special. They're around the same price. And then you at least have the option of metallic cartridges. And that's going to be for one, you don't have to worry about your powder and your cap getting wet if you get stuck in the rain. And for two, it's going to be a way faster reload.
That's true, but if I was going to go metallic cartridge, I'd probably go 73s. I'd go to regular single action Army because that's kind of the charm of a 51 Navy.
Then that's the other problem I see with the 51 Navy is not having a top strap. Elmer Keith liked to talk about beating people over the head with a gun and not having a top strap. I'm not saying that you need to be whacking people on the head with it, but it's definitely a way weaker frame.
Well, I don't know. The Walker Colt is open top, and
I've seen the size of a Walker Colt. It dwarfs a Blackhawk.
oh yeah, it's huge. Well, they're like 9.5 pounds. My good friend Austin's got one. We shoot some. It's actually a pretty nice old gun. It's pretty powerful too. If my memory serves me correct, I think that it was the most powerful handgun in the world until the 357 Magnum come out in the 30s.
Yeah, the old Walker Colts, man, that was a gigantic pistol, but still, I mean, if you would have put a top strap on the top of that, it would have, it's just
Like
I
a
don't
58
know.
Remington.
Yeah, I am not really a fan of open top pistols, especially as like a carry gun. They it's definitely a novelty thing. They're cool. And I enjoy going out and shooting old guns like that at the range. There's three things that the 51 Navy as a cap and ball would have going against it for me up here. Number one, for a carry gun, I want a good strong gun that that not an open top, not having a back strap. It might be fine, but you might also whack that, be on a dirt bike and whack that grip hard against a tree and break it in half. It's hard to say. Number two, it's not a cartridge gun. Cap and black powder, we are 150 years beyond that. There's a way better. That's really hard to seal the primer on a cap and black powder versus, modern ammunition. And number three, even if I did want a cap and ball, it is very difficult to get black powder here in Alaska.
Why is that?
Because there's you can't take it, there's really hard to transport powder and ammunition through Canada. We have there's a couple of smaller in-state manufacturing ammunition manufacturing places where ammunition is made here. That is, moderately priced, but there's really only like one or two distributors here in the state that have ammunition barged in, and they hold the market on ammunition and powder and primers up here are expensive.
That blows.
Like I can go up to Sportsman's Warehouse, or I probably can't touch a box of 45 ACP for less than $25.
Here it's about $16.
Yeah, I can get some of the local and loaded stuff maybe for 18 or 19, but not anywhere close to what the price of ammunition down there in the state. And that being said, individuals are not allowed to transport black powder through Canada, so it has to be it's really hard to get black powder up here.
That does suck.
You're allowed to parent. You can take smokeless powder through Canada. I think it's like 16 pounds, but you're not allowed to do black powder. So that's that. And Pyrodex, I don't do Pyrodex. I can get Pyrodex at Sportsman's Warehouse or Cabela's or wherever. There's a Cabela's down in Anchorage, but it's not black powder, and I don't like it. And yeah, it's just too hard to get black powder up here.
Yeah, I used to use some Pyrodex, but I've always kind of been a fan of Go-X, but just depends on what I'm doing.
It was funny when I was in Idaho before we moved back up here. I had No, I'd been, anytime I saw it, I collected it. Like, oh my God, black powder. That's really hard to find. I'm going to keep that. So when we went to go move, I went to go sell it, but I can't bring it with me. And I put it online for like $30 a pound, which in Alaska, you see a pound of black powder for $30, you're gonna buy that pound of black powder. And down there, everybody freaking laughed at me. I think I ended up selling it for $10 a pound.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a different, Alaska's a different world. I don't know. If I was gonna carry a single action, there's some really good 1873 copies and 45 Colt that would be I know people that carry single action 45 Colts. And actually here in Alaska, a lot of people carry Ruger Blackhawks and 44 Magnum. A lot of people carry single action 44 mags. But I don't know about a 51 Navy.
I don't know, man. They got a charm about them. They sure
That's
killed a lot of people with them.
almost like taking it like hipster level. I mean, like, before it was cool, but after it was cool, but that is so far in the past. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're cool guns and I enjoy shooting them, but I don't know about carrying a 51 Navy, dude.
Hell, I know one guy carries a Webley. It can't get much worse than that.
I actually rather recently, I don't remember where, but I read a story about a gentleman who carried a 51 Navy when he was a kid or a young man, our age, well, my age, 20, early 20s, while he was in college, because it's what he could afford. And he was out doing some fishing somewhere. I believe it was around, I think it was Montana or somewhere. But he's out there and he runs into this gentleman on the trail who kind of put him up on edge, and he backed off the edge of the trail and notices this guy pulls out a knife and is coming at him with this knife, and he had that 51 Navy, and he said he never had to fire a shot, but just seeing the gun was enough to, de-escalate the situation. The guy with the knife, slipped the knife back in and just started whistling and walked away. But I don't know. Another thing I think about is if you actually shot somebody, let's say, okay, this guy's coming at you, I shoot him right between the eyes with a 51 Navy. I wonder how that would go in a courtroom.
Well, yeah, you could do worse things, for sure. But I mean, if it's justifiable, it's justifiable. I mean, preferably center of mass, not in the face. And if they asked, it would just be, well, that's what was available to me at the time, and it is what it is.
Or I could see maybe if you were barred from owning an actual firearm, that might be a good option. But I don't know, dude. I wouldn't. I have been known to, I carried for a long time up here before I left a Ruger Vaquero, an old model Vaquero in 44 Magnum. I see absolutely nothing wrong with a single action revolver as a carry gun in the right circumstances. If I had a Ruger Blackhawk, I'd probably carry it sometimes right now, but I carry my Red Hawk. But I don't know about a cap and ball.
Wish I could find a Ruger Old Army. I would carry one of those in a heartbeat. That was about the best black powder gun ever made.
Yeah, those
Super durable.
I had a Ruger, I had an Old Army Stainless for a while. It was a cool gun. I didn't shoot it that much, but you can't hardly find black powder up here. But it was a cool gun.
You can load them up pretty hot too.
Oh yeah, that for a actually, I think I remember this guy telling me one time he had an old army that he actually used with light charges of smokeless powder.
Whoa, not for me.
Yeah, I mean it wouldn't be for me either, but I mean it is a strong gun. So, but yeah, dude,
Maybe a Blackhawk and 41 mag or 45 Colt or something.
I would, if I was gonna get a single action, like if it was just like, you know what, I want to be, it's a novelty thing, but I want to carry a single action. I would probably get, there's one or two guns I would get. I'd get one of the new Uberti. The Uberti 1873, which is a cool gun, but I would probably go with the Ruger new model Vaquero because it is closer in size. They scaled it back down to be closer to the actual, the old Colt 73 model Colts.
Right.
But it's still got a transfer bar, and I really like a transfer bar because you get that sixth shot in there, and you're already, being limited with a revolver for especially a single action revolver for a slow reload.
Well, the best reload for a revolver is another revolver.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could do a New York reload with a revolver, but
Because I figured if I carried a 51 Navy, I'd carry two of them.
yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I mean, it's all up to you, but it wouldn't be for me. I carry like right now I carry there's three guns I carry. Two of them are double action revolvers, and the third one is a 1911. Unfortunately, Nick and I ran into some technical difficulties right at the end there, but we're gonna go ahead and wrap this episode up. I appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening. We had a lot more listeners on the first episode than I expected, and I really appreciate it. If you have any tips on how to make the show better, you can visit the Mountain Man Dan Show on Facebook, and you can give any suggestions that you have for the show there, or you can drop us a message wherever you can find us on my Instagram page, which is The Shooter's Apprentice. Or also on YouTube as The Shooter's Apprentice. I'm still working on trying to get the podcast listed more places, but it is currently on Anchor, Google Podcast, and Spotify, as well as a couple of others, which you can find all the places it is played by clicking on the listen button on the Anchor website. But we appreciate everybody for listening today. Hopefully, we can get some of our technical difficulties sorted out and we'll get a higher quality episode next week. We're just gonna keep working on improving the quality of this show and making it as good as we can. Again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.